Let's go to the Lord together in prayer, please. Father, as we approach your word this morning, I just pray that you would open up our hearts and minds, that you would speak to us, that we would listen to you through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our study of the book of Hebrews. And we've been in Hebrews 11 for quite some time. And as I've said before, this is known as the Hall of Faith chapter, as it points out people in the Old Testament who were believers and had expressed their faith in God. And last week, we were in Hebrews chapter 11, 30, and we're going to be in 31 this week, but I want us to read both verses as we study the life of Rahab. Hebrews 11, 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace." And of course, if you're familiar with the story of Jericho and the destruction of Jericho, Rahab plays an important part in that particular story. We have a lot in common with Rahab in a figurative basis. And as we start our study this morning, I want to point that out. As we look at Rahab, Rahab was a harlot. And before you and I come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are spiritual harlots. We are spiritual adulterers. This is a concept that is throughout the Bible. Jeremiah 3:20 says, "Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord." Ezekiel 16, starting in verse 15, says, "But you trusted in your own beauty," and Ezekiel's referring to Jerusalem and the adulterous Hebrew people at this particular point. It said, "But you trusted in your own beauty, played the harlot because of your fame, and poured out your harlotry on everyone passing by who would have it. You took some of your garments and adored multicolored high places for yourself and played the harlot on them. Such things should not happen nor be. You have also taken your beautiful jewelry from my gold and my silver, which I have given you, and made for yourself male images and played the harlot with them. You took your embroidered garments and covered them, and you set my oil and my incense before them. Also my food which I gave you, the pastry of fine flour, oil, and honey which I fed you. You set it before them as sweet incense, and so it was, says the Lord God." Not only is the idea of spiritual adultery found in the Old Testament, it's also found in the New Testament. James 4, 4 through 5 says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously?" So, as we look at the life of Rahab, being a harlot, we find ourselves before Jesus Christ being a spiritual adulterer to God. Anytime that we allow something in our life ahead of God, we are spiritual adulterers. We are telling God that we don't trust Him, that we don't accept Him, that we don't believe in His truth, that we don't accept His teaching, and we grab hold of whatever looks good to us at that particular moment. We grab hold of the world. We grab hold of entertainment or power or prestige or riches, and we deny God working in our life. It's spiritual adultery. But yet, Rahab was spared. In fact, her and her family were the only folks spared out of Jericho. Well, why was Rahab spared? She was spared because she came to know the Lord just like you and me. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, starting in verse 8. In verse 8, we find Rahab up on the roof telling the spies her belief in the Lord. In verse 8 it reads, "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, in what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death.'" How did she come to faith? Just like you and me. She said in verse 11 that she heard. It said that their hearts were melted. And then you see where she said, "The Lord your God, He is God. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." How do you and I come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." When the gospel is presented, whether the gospel was presented to you through a pastor or a family member or a neighbor, but when somebody presents the gospel to you and it moves your soul, and you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you come by hearing. It's unfortunate today that the preaching part of the service across America has become diminished because people want to be entertained. But my friend, there's only one thing that converts the soul, and that is the presentation of the gospel, whether it's done in church or you're telling somebody across the kitchen table what Jesus Christ means to you. It's the Word. And the Word comes by hearing. Well, what kind of faith did Rahab have? Did she just acknowledge the mighty acts of God and it stopped there? No. Her faith was a faith that produced fruit. Turn with me to James chapter 2. Starting in verse 18, it says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And Scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And then as we look at verse 25, we see Rahab. And in verse 25 it says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, we don't believe in salvation by works, but we do believe that faith works. That as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God works through us, and our faith is evident in our life by the fruit that our belief develops. We believe in a faith that produces fruit. So many times we see people that say, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is nothing in their life that accounts for that belief. In James, we see that that type of faith is dead. It's dead. It's not faith. It is an acknowledgement of a historical event. But you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that God changes us, He transforms us, and that produces fruit. Not only was it a faith that produced fruit, but it's also a faith that is an individual faith. What do I mean by that? Well, as you look at the life of Rahab, you see that all of Jericho passed. They didn't believe. They didn't accept. Now, they knew about the power of God. That's why they were all holed up in their city. But it wasn't a belief to change. See, when we look at what God does for us, He calls us individually. Just as we see in the life of Rahab, Rahab saw and believed and was transformed. God calls us all individually. He called Rahab. He called Paul. We all have an individual call. Jesus bids everyone individually to follow Him. In addition, not only was it an individual faith, but it was a self-denying faith. If you think about it, Rahab went against her people for her belief in God. That's risky business, isn't it? Someone could say that Rahab rightfully committed the act of treason because of her belief in God. God calls us to deny ourselves. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You and I, my friends, have a saving faith that produces fruit because we deny ourselves and we choose God. And when we choose God, when we choose the things of God over the things of this world, God works through us and He uses us just as He used Rahab in the life of the Hebrews. There's fruit. Not only is it an individual faith that produces fruit, but it's also a faith that has a testimony. Look back at Joshua 2, starting in verse 8, what Rahab told the men on the roof. She said, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, in what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed, And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. She recognized God, didn't she? She verbally recognized God. That's a testimony. That's the testimony when she said, "For the Lord your God, He is God. He is God." She recognized not the pagan gods of her homeland. She recognized God. And you and I each have a testimony. And that testimony is a public testimony. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." When we're saved, when we're transformed, we confess. It becomes something that we want to talk about. It becomes something that we want to share. We have joy in our hearts that we want to tell others about. Psalm 66:16 says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul." We believe in a faith with testimony. Well, not only that, but her faith had a reward. She didn't perish, did she? None of her family perished. That was an earthly benefit. But there's more to it than that. As we saw God use the life of Rahab, she was adopted into their family. She became part of the Hebrews. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. As we see the lineage of Jesus Christ, it reads, "Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab." She's in the lineage of Jesus. She was married to a prince. She's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And the thing that's comforting about that to me is no matter what your background is, no matter what your history is, no matter what you've done, Jesus Christ stands ready to save and accept and for you to be used by Him. That's the wonderful thing about salvation. Regardless of our past, we're accepted. We're forgiven. We don't have to go and hide in the corner and pay penance because, my friends, Jesus paid it all on the cross. He paid it all on the cross. We can be used. We can serve Him with gladness. We have been accepted in the Beloved. That's what the Bible says. We have acceptance. We believe in a transforming faith, a faith that has cleansed us from our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith has a reward. And not only is it the benefit of faith while we walk here on earth, but it's the benefit of faith as we see Him for eternity. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." See, just as Rahab was adopted into the family, you and I, my friends, through the power of Jesus Christ, we've been adopted into the family. We've been adopted, we've been forgiven, and we've been accepted, and we are able to serve Him to the praise of His glory. That's what happens with salvation. Faith just isn't an intellectual acknowledgement. It's God changing us, transforming us, making us into the image of Him. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we just thank You. Thank You that You have called us, that You've forgiven us, regardless of our past. And I just pray, Lord, that we might embrace You. I pray that we'd never take for granted the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ. I pray that we might serve You and honor You, and that You might use us, and that we might be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.